actually want to continue the idea of what we were doing then. I'm kind of leaving where we left, picking up where we left off. And that is the fundamental point that we had been discussing throughout all the shiurim that we've been giving last time, was to understand that Judaism is not a disjointed collection of mitzvahs, nor is it a technical list of mitzvahs, but actually really what Judaism essentially is a relationship. And all the different elements of Yiddishkeit are really just dynamics of the relationship. Let's step back for a minute, refresh the general perspective. You talk about a family, okay? What's a better definition of a family? Is a better definition a place where, A, each person has a bed, B, the father works, C, the mother makes lunch, today maybe it's the other way around, I don't know, but whatever it is, the mother makes lunch, the mother does laundry, the kid does homework. Is that the definition of a family, or is the definition of a family a unit bonded together with love? Now, all these other things are true too, but that's not the definition. These are things that a family does, but that's not what a family is, right? These are might be an accurate description of a family, but it's not the definition. So with Yiddishkeit, this is what we have to understand, that our relationship with Hashem is first and foremost family. We'll elaborate on that as we get there. And all the different mitzvahs, and all the different chiyuvim that we have are really just dynamics within that setting. Everything has to be taken in that perspective and understand how it fits into that picture. Okay, so now, what I actually want to do now is approach some of the main dynamics of this relationship, and that is the famous concept of Yira and Ahava. Fear of Hashem and love of Hashem. Fear of Hashem is really the place to start, because from fear you build to love. But on the other hand, you have to get the right perspective. We have to preclude certain misunderstandings about what Yiras Hashem is before we can move on to Ahava. Well, Mamish, picking up from where we left off when we stopped this year and last year. So, Mamish, continue. So I want to start with Yira. But before we can talk about Yiras Hashem, we have to have Yiras Hashem in the right perspective. So therefore, I want to start with a little story. In Europe, pre-war Europe, at one point the yeshivas were struggling. They put together what they called the Vada Yeshivas. It was a central committee that was kind of trying to care for all the yeshivas as a whole, joint fundraising, etc. They were having a very hard time. Somebody asked the Chofetz Chaim. Chofetz Chaim was one time up and speaking, you know, about the great value of Torah learning and what one hour of Torah learning is worth. So someone asked, one of the other Rabbanim there asked the Chofetz Chaim, you have connections in Shamayim, why don't you strike a deal for us? We're having such a hard time scraping together money for the yeshivas. We'll trade one day of our learning in for enough support for the yeshivas for the next 70 years. No? So, I was looking at Chofetz Chaim, what would he say? Chofetz Chaim said, won't work. I said, why? So he said, listen, I'll tell you a mashal l'mahadavadon. The mashal is like this. Let's say a kid comes to the candy store, wants to buy a candy. How much does it cost? 75 cents. Kid has a dollar. The guy says, I don't have change. The kid says, it's okay. I want the candy. Take the dollar. All right, the guy might take the dollar. Fine, kid wants the candy. What happens? This is a kid who just came, a big estate fell to him. He is handed by his lawyer a check for $50 million. Okay? Now he walks into the candy store. He wants a candy. How much does it cost? 75 cents. Yeah, an expensive candy. It costs $1.50. Tells the guy, here, this is all I have. Hands him the check. Guy looks, $50 million. I for sure don't have change for this. Okay? The kid says, well, I really want the candy. It's okay. You can, don't worry about the change. Keep the change. Now, if the storekeeper is an honest guy, the dollar he might have taken, he kept the 25 cents. That won't make him dishonest. But if he's at all of an honest, any scruples at all, he says, sorry kid, I can't give you that. No candy and no deal. Take the check back. The kid says, I want it. Can't do it. The reason you want it is because you don't appreciate, you have no idea what $50 million is. Right? But I can't do it. I can't allow you to do such a thing. So the Chofetz Chaim said, you want to give it a day's worth of learning. for 70 years of support for all the yeshivas, Hashem says, no such thing. I can't do that. How can I go along with such a thing? You have no idea what you're trading in. Right? So, this is the way the Ramak answers a more profound question. Gemara says, "Ein aveira mechaba mitzvah." Person doesn't aveira. Hear all kinds of terrible things about Gehenna, right? If you had a really good Rebbe in Cheder, maybe even your mamish drove you to tears with these things. I mean, a really bad Rebbe. But you hear about Gehenna, you don't want to go there. So we might think, look, Hashem, I did more mitzvahs than aveiras. So don't we cancel out mitzvahs for aveiras? Has also no such thing. Aveiras get punished, every last mitzvah gets rewarded. Why not? Why can Hashem go easy on me? Why does he have to insist on punishing me for the aveiras, then rewarding me for the mitzvahs? I would prefer to have some cancel out the other. The Ramak says an answer very much along the lines of what we just said. He said, we make a mistake. I'm saying it in my own words. He says it in much more concise, Kabbalistic terms. I'm saying it in my own words. We make a mistake, a big mistake, which, again, maybe the Rebbe's help has come to. But we make a big mistake in thinking that there are two equal sides to the scale. There's Gehenim and there's Gan Eden. And Gehenim is as horrible as Gan Eden is great. Right? And it's tit for tat. You know, an Aveira is Gehenim. Let's say 50 pounds of suffering. Mitzvah is Gan Eden, 50 pounds of reward. I'm just trying to put this into measurable terms. Okay? So I'm not saying it's a big mistake, it isn't true. Qualitatively, Gehenna is in a much lower place than Gan Eden. It's not 5 pounds of suffering versus 5 pounds of good. Small Aveira and small mitzvah, Gehenna might be 5 pounds of suffering, but Gan Eden is 5 million pounds of good. They are on two sides of the scale. They are on two sides of the scale. We're talking quality here, obviously. We're also talking quality in terms of the neshama, which are things we don't relate to. But if we were talking in terms of a map, let's say, you think that, you know, there's a fork in the road, and there's Gan Eden, and there's Gehenna. No, it's not like that. Gan Eden is immense. Gehenna is, it's a little kind of like a station. It's about at the side, on the road, on the side of the road, leading up to Gan Eden. Because Hashem is not, it's not business. Hashem is doing business. Look, it's tit for tat. Hashem has us here because He wants to give us kiviyachol the best He can give us. He wants us to come out okay. The system is set up for us to succeed. Now, part of the system, in order for us to really enjoy what He has in store for us, is that aveiros have to go punished. Why? Either we'll touch on that tonight or next time. But all we'll say meanwhile is that really that is a part of the kindliness that Hashem has. It's not that there are two roads. Either you're zeichet to Hashem's kindliness, or, well, you should see what Hashem could do in the other room. Right? No. It's not the way it works. The way the Ramchal puts it is, Rachamim and Din are two sides of the scale. But both of them are under the general umbrella of Chesed. Meaning, the point of it all is ultimately to get you to the chesed. The punishments also are there in order to enable you to ultimately enjoy the chesed. Because the truth, I'll say this very briefly, people have to elaborate it on more on it next week. Because the truth is, why does Hashem punish? Why can't Hashem overlook the aveiros? Very briefly, the whole schar of Gan Eden is based on the realization that I earned this myself. That I went through something where the stakes were high, and I managed. Now, if you're aveira, which meant that you could have fallen, but you succeeded. If Hashem would say, you know what, forget about the aveiros. You know what that would mean? That would mean that also all of our successes are really just a game. You didn't really earn anything, you would have gotten it anyways. Hashem is, as we would like to think of, he's a good guy, he'll let things go. So therefore, yes, you might not get punished for your aveiros, but your Gan Eden doesn't have that taste, because at the end of the day, really it's a game. You would have gotten there anyways. You didn't really earn anything. In order for you, this has to be elaborated, but in order for you to really enjoy the Gan Eden, the punishment for an Aveira has to be for real. But it's not two sides of the coin at all. Now this is very important, really, to preface our discussion of Yiras Shamayim, of Yira. When we're talking about Oynish has to be understood in the right perspective. Oynish is not something that, you know, Hashem has it, you know, either good or bad. No. Minish has to be taken in the perspective of Hashem's chesed, Hashem's love, and the fact that Hashem created us because He wants to give us kiviyochel everything He wants to, everything He could give. Oyinesh has to be taken in that perspective. This is a fundamental preface to be able to approach the whole concept of Yiras Oynish, because when Yiras Oynish is just taken on its own, and you just hear, well, there's Oynish and there's Schar, that's a big mistake, it's a distortion. It's actually a distortion that dejects many people and has actually driven people off. I heard a girl who was suffering spiritually, struggling spiritually. She wrote a letter, a cousin of mine, who's a big in the Israeli world, a big mechanech. She wrote a letter to him saying, I can't deal with a situation where it's always like, you know, whatever I do, I feel like you can't help but mess up, you're headed for Ganim anyways, anything I do, I'm going to be punished. What sort of system is this? So he wrote back to her, he said, the Hashem that you're describing, I don't worship either. I don't want to have it, but that's not my Hashem. I have a different Hashem. Hashem who wants me to succeed, and yes, it's mamish like in the context of a parent-child relationship, the punishment is there, but if the relationship with the parent, that the parent is, it's either punishment or reward. The parent is love. Punishment is an element of the relationship. If we have this clear, then we could proceed to study the subject of Oynish. And this will do in the proper perspective as a session. Okay.